Wheeland Presley Funeral Home and Crematory, a proud supporter of WQPT, has been serving Quad City families since 1889. Now providing live stream capabilities for viewing your loved one's funeral or memorial service at their chapel in Rock Island.
A new era for the YWCA and getting the Bucktown Review back in front of audiences in the cities. The YWCA has been an instrument for change in the cities for more than 100 years. Now it'll undergo one of its biggest changes in the past century. A $12 million capital campaign is now underway to move the YWCA facilities into a new Rock Island building. A groundbreaking was held in early December at the former Zimmerman Honda site on the city's 4th Avenue, and that's important. It not only is going to add programs that workers hope to provide, but will also expand programs that are already making an impact in our community. And joining us is the president and chief executive officer of the Quad Cities YWCA, Julie Larson. Julie, thanks for joining us. I mean, you have been working on this for a long time. This is a long time coming.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, we've been working on it hard for the past 4 years, I would say. It's I like things done very quickly, and it hasn't been a very quick process. But, good things come to those who wait. So we're getting it in the end.
Well, let's be honest, a capital campaign at the end of a pandemic, you might think this isn't the best of times, but people are so hopeful for the year ahead, it may not be a bad time at all.
Yeah, it's funny because we actually started the silent phase last year, and we received some good news about funding. And then we got our video all ready, the pamphlets all ready to send out, the letters, and then the pandemic hit. And at that time, you kind of feel as though it's really selfish to ask for money for a capital campaign when people are struggling to put food on their table or pay their rent. So we paused the campaign, and then once the state of Illinois reopened in June, grant cycles started to open, and we started slowly plugging away, and then received some good news about a lead donation from the Doris and Victor Day Foundation, and then the momentum has continued.
There's so many people who don't necessarily know what the YWCA stand for, which is a shame. It's a huge shame.
Yes.
You're located, of course, in a brick building. I want to say nondescript, but you've been there forever. Kitty corner from Rock
yes.
Island City Hall. People have driven by. It looks like a cramped facility. It looks like, you're almost in a fortress in a little area. You do need some breathing room.
We do. It's built in 1966 or 1954. It's 66 years old. And it's 25,000 square feet. We have been at capacity with our child care center for many years. The pool, very closed in, there's no windows. It's just old, but most important, the mechanical systems, they're failing. We don't have central air conditioning. It's not, there's no elevator in the building to get people up to the gymnasium when we have special events like the child care graduation. And so, definitely. And the new facility will double the size, but it'll also double our impact on serving the community and allow us to serve more individuals and marginalized populations that are in need of our services.
And that's what I really wanted to talk to you about, of course, today, is the fact that this is almost a way for you to either further, it's more than bricks and mortar to you. This is a way to even further expand your cause in the Quad Cities. That's got to be critically important at this time.
Yeah, it really is, especially when we look at child care. We're still under mandates by DCFS to keep the number of youth to smaller group capacities, and then we have to have more teachers, more staff. But you can only have so many kids, and parents need to get back to work. And so a lot of them, especially with the remote learning and the schools, have been struggling to find childcare. So you really have to get innovative. We are doing the remote learning with our school-agers. It's something new. Most definitely. More space will allow us to do more with our empowerment center, which is so important right now when people are struggling to find jobs and increase their educational attainment. Maybe they want to change careers. So it's really a time when the services that we need are needed more now than ever.
And I do want to talk about those two linchpins for the YWCA right now. One is the fight against racism. We can talk about that in just a moment, but I do want to start with empowerment since you just brought it up. How important is it right now that people discover what you have to offer? And what is it in particular that the YWCA is offering that perhaps isn't offered elsewhere?
Well, at the Empowerment Center, if we don't have it, our motto is we'll get it for you. So we distribute a lot of clothing, a lot of food, toiletries, essential items, but also support services. We helped during, just a couple months ago, we did some stimulus help with people that didn't get their stimulus checks yet. And to those people, that means paying rent or food on the table. So that's something, a service that people didn't know we offered. What's really cool is that we have the Google IT certificate program. So we have participants going through that right now. It's free of charge to the individuals. If you don't have a laptop, we provide you with one. We help with the internet service, and then we also help you with your homework per se, and help mentor you along the way. And then afterwards, when people complete the program, there's actually over 50, 60 companies online that are actively recruiting these graduates, so in earning $45,000 a year or more. The other cool thing is in January, we will be launching the Y Web Academy. And that's specific to the YWCA. And that's more of a web design, web development certificate. And again, it's free of charge to participants. And both of these programs are really focused on women and people of color who are traditionally underrepresented in the field of IT. So we're really excited to provide those two unique programs, and especially amid COVID, to the people in our community.
Because, I mean, it's very understandable that you don't want to just get people by for a week. You want to get them by through a lifetime. And that's teaching people about financial literacy. People, like you said, career choices, actually opening up windows for people that may be unable to get that in the first place.
Right, absolutely. And the beauty about both of these two programs that we have, you can work remotely. And all the class time is done remotely. And we have this beautiful, instrument called Zoom. And so you can Zoom if you don't understand something and share the screen. And it's just, so there are good things right now that, and I think there's a lot of people who have taken this time to really look at their lives. And, it's kind of a game changer.
The YWCA is also very active and has really underlined your social change philosophy, particularly towards racism in the past year. You had a huge program, once again, the pandemic interrupting some of the key parts of it, but that is such a key component of the YWCA as well.
It is, definitely. We do a lot of work silently in the community. We've done many forums over the years with leaders, young Black professionals, and with some youth, which, out of the mouths of babes, that was just an amazing forum that we hosted, really to get perceptions and what can we do to work together in the community and recognize that every life is valuable. And so those are some of the things that we do. We've got a lot more in the works that we are going to be introducing in 2021. The Race Against Racism, the first year we had over 300 participants, which I think is amazing, because I think if you look at every weekend in the summer, there's a race. So we were very happy with those numbers. This year, obviously, with COVID, we did it virtual. We didn't want to, but just to keep everybody safe, we did. And we raised more money this year than we did last year with it. So, and it's all about furthering our cause and recognizing that at the YWCA, we, believe everybody's equal. Everybody should have the same opportunities, whether it's employment, childcare, preschool, youth, all youth should have the opportunity to participate in a career or in a preschool program.
Well, and you also have the Orange Project, and that has to do with a lot of the youth issues. I mean, youth scholarships, youth empowerment, STEM education. You're really trying to grow a stronger society, aren't you?
We are. We're trying to take individuals who wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to participate in certain activities or programming and give them those opportunities so they can have a bright future, whether it's STEM or it's free swim lessons or it's, you know, helping the youth at the place to be find a job. You know, or helping them mentor them along the way, helping them with issues they might have at home or at school. So it's just really trying to make people, you know, accountable, but yet, and help them out of the situations they're in, and then recognizing that we all make mistakes and forgiving and then moving on.
So do you see this new building as kind of a new gathering place for you? I mean, that the programs that you already have can just be expanded. It can be more welcoming.
Oh, definitely. I mean, like you said, that small facility that we have right now, we're all scrunched in there with not an extra square foot. So the new facility will just be amazing. You know, for the kids at the place to be, we'll have a much larger space for them and more opportunities. And the Empowerment Center, we've got the beautiful Empowerment Center in Iowa, and this will be another satellite location so that everything will be housed under one roof, because right now we're with two facilities in Rock Island that are right next to each other, and sometimes you have to go from one facility to the other, so right. That'll help a lot. And then with the aquatic center, it's going to be a family aquatic center, a lot of amenities that we don't have now. And, you know, we're surrounded by rivers in the Quad Cities, so I think it's so important that youth, any age, you know, learn how to swim.
It was really important for you to stay in downtown Rock Island as well, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I like a swim center, things like that. That's not something that's really available in that area.
Right, right. I mean, we do need some economic development. So we're really excited about our facility, you know, not just for us, but for downtown Rock Island,
right,
for workforce sustainability, and I envision other establishments coming. We're going to be creating more jobs. You know, I could just see other things popping up because there's a lot of spaces near us, and it would be a win-win situation for everyone.
So take me through 2021 as far as the capital campaign is concerned. What do you hope to raise by when?
Well, we our goal at the end of the day is $12 million. So we've decided that we want to make sure that we get to that $9 million point before we start construction. You know, we did announce last week some wonderful funding that we have that puts us over the halfway mark. So there's still work to be done.
Right.
There are a couple appropriations that we have been that we will be given. The question is timing. So our plan would be to start building the facility in the spring. And for us, again, I want to really, you know, say it's not a want, this is a need for us. I mean, I will just be thankful when we can go a week without calling a plumber or someone to work on the boiler system or an electrical outlet or a light falling. I mean, so it's, you know, it's not about the fact that, you know, we want this. I mean, we do want it, but we need it. And quite frankly, I don't know how many more winters our boiler systems can take.
And to be honest, I mean, you get the corporate donations usually right off the top in order to start the capital fundraising. I mean, that's generally the traditional way to do it. These last dollars are really the groundswell from the community. I mean, I don't mean to say that it's more important, but wow, it just makes you feel good when you're getting, you know, the nickels, the dimes, the dollars, the hundreds of dollars, any donation from the community.
You know, it really does. And like I said, a lot of the work that we do in the community is silent. So it really makes us feel good when we do get those local dollars and they recognize the good that we're doing in the community. And I always say too, every dollar counts. You know, every dollar bill, you get 100 of them and you have $100 and you're that much closer to your goal. So no contribution is too small. And, you know, just to have that community support and the turnout that we had on Tuesday, it just makes me feel so good about what we're doing. And it just reiterates the fact that, you know, we're a viable, needed organization, and especially among COVID. I mean, COVID was a terrible thing to happen, but I'm just grateful that we were able to serve the community. While, you know, a lot of businesses had to close, we remained open with our essential childcare. And actually, probably 40% of the people who brought their children to the essential emergency childcare had never set foot in the YWCA before. So it was really good to serve the community. And it's also important to note that our clients are not our funders. So we do rely on the community for donations. And, you know, so we do have a long ways to go, but we're really looking forward to the community support.
All right, the service is more important than ever. Julie Larson, thank you so much for joining us, the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Quad Cities YWCA. And you can find out more details regarding the YWCA and its capital campaign at its website, ywcaqc.org. In a moment, the Bucktown Review entering the new year with new plans. But first, let's get you ready to enjoy the start of the new year. Here's Laura Adams, out and about.
This is Out and About through January 5th, 2021. Experience the astounding moment when Allied and German soldiers laid down their arms on Christmas Eve to celebrate the holiday together during World War I, when WQPT presents All Is Calm, the Christmas Truce of 1914, on the 24th at 9 p.m. Blakelock by the Light of the Moon exhibit opens at the Figge and runs through March 7th. Or check out all of the holiday light displays. Fegiveri holiday lights in Davenport continue to dazzle through January 3rd. Or visit the Rock Family Christmas display delighting guests since 1987 at the Ticoga Winery in DeWitt. And new this year, the Gross Family Christmas display in Sherrard is sure to inspire holiday cheer through December 31st. Shop local at the Holiday Pop-Up Market in East Moline at the Iron and Grain Coffee House running through the 30th. From ancient times to today, children have played with toys. Explore the role of toys through the Putnam Original Exhibit, Play the Story of Toys, through December 31st. And don't forget to catch the virtual performances of Christmas at Augustana. 300 student musicians share the joy of the season through December 24th. Plus, you can stream the Festivus Show, a two-day holiday extravaganza with 11 musical acts performing in 11 different downtown Davenport businesses, December 26th and 27th from 7 to 10 at home and streaming. For more information, visit WQPT.org.
The Quad Cities is all in this together. We take care of one another because that's who we are. So mask up, wash your hands, stay informed, and continue to support our QC businesses. We rally together while staying apart, so that in time, we can get back to the very best version of the Quad Cities.
The pandemic has hit the arts community hard. Theaters are closed, music venues shut down, even school productions shuttered. There's a new rallying cry aimed at people in the cities who are ready to save the arts at its most fragile time. It's called Save the Arts QC. It was created by Brent Tubbs, the co-owner of the Spotlight Theater in Moline. Take a look. That was created by Spotlight Theater co-owner Brent Tubbs. Save the Arts QC is a video that you can share on social media. Just use the hashtag Save the Arts QC. Well, this has been an unprecedented time for theaters across the country. In the past, at times of national trauma, actually it's theaters that have helped bring us together to offer a diversion or actually sometimes just to tackle the problem we're facing in a unique way. But this pandemic has closed theater doors. It has dimmed the lights and it has kept people off the stage. The folks at the Bucktown Review have tried to get their creativity out through social media over these last few months. And now they're preparing for a new year. It's just we're not sure what that new year is going to bring. And joining us is Michael Romke from Bucktown Review. Let's start with the past before we look to the future. How tough is 2020?
Well, I mean, I'm not a pessimist about any of it. It's nothing has gone the way anybody would have expected. We've had to not do our show at the Nice Wonder Theater. Our last show was in February of 2020. I thought we'd be maybe be gone a couple of months and be back for sure in April or May. And heck, here it's December the next, you know, of the next year, and we're still not happening.
Yeah, well, and let's talk about Bucktown Review. For those who don't know, it is a true review. It's fun on stage. It's really a show for the ears as well.
Yeah, we have a good time. We do, it's mainly folk music, but we'll have everything from jazz to classical to Showtime stuff. And it's the third Friday of the month at the Nice Wonder Theater when it's, you know, most of the time, but this has not been most of the time. And so we've been just doing videos with a few musicians that have been on, that we're putting on YouTube and on also on Facebook so we could just keep our chops going.
Right.
We're like everybody else. We're just waiting to see what happens.
Is it unfair to compare it to kind of a local Prairie Home Companion, or is that not a fair comparison?
It's totally fair, just not in a way that would get me sued.
And that's why I kind of want to point that out to people who don't know it. I mean, it's a little bit of everything. A couple laughs, a good time, keeping it light, and then a true sense of Americana music.
Yeah, really, the music is what it's all about, but we do a little humor, a little shtick, we do a little of everything. And we really, as much as we've actually enjoyed doing the YouTube videos over the last, I don't know, 8 months or whatever it's been, we really miss our audience and getting together with the other musicians, our friends in the Quad Cities and from throughout the area, really. We usually have some people up from Nashville in the fall, and we weren't able to do that this year. And yeah, we're just really sort of making it up as we go along with everybody else. I just want to say, I'm not ashamed to say it, I had COVID. I got sick a couple of weeks ago and was quite worried because I'm of a certain age and I have asthma and, you know, all of the horror stories you hear. And I was sick for a day. I mean, I think a lot of people have, I think there's a lot of anxiety and concern about what happens, but some of my friends at church have had it, and it's getting to the point now where I know people who have had it, and it's, you know, hopefully we'll get through this.
Is this material for you then? I mean, let's be honest. You artists have been stuck in like a pause for 10 months. You're looking for any material to write about, sing about, talk about. This has got to be part of it.
Well, you want to be careful what you make fun of. I mean, my off-the-cuff reaction is always to try and be funny. And nothing gets you in trouble faster than trying to be funny.
That's what I've heard.
And, yeah, so COVID is one of those things where, you know, one of the guys on the show is Steve Couch, and he does musical comedy. And, you know, some of the last shows we did, he did comic songs about COVID. And the audience didn't really know whether they're supposed to laugh or not. People are concerned about this, and they should be. Any kind of flu epidemic, which is really what this is, if it hits the right person the wrong way, I mean, you have serious problems. But, you know, we're just trying to keep our spirits up. We are optimistic people. We're optimistic that we're going to be back in the theater. We're optimistic that we're all going to get through this. And we're just, you know, just kind of waiting for the vaccine to take effect. And a lot of it is people's attitude. You know, I mean, part of it is, what is the city and the theater going to let us do, right? I mean, that's a big part of it. But there's really no sense in going back to the theater if people aren't comfortable coming out in public.
Right.
And that's the, I mean, that's the part of it that you just don't know. It's like, you know, when they start having, you know, when Circa 21 opens up again, you know, will people, you know, when will people feel comfortable about coming?
Well, and there's great hope that it could be January, but it could be February or March. You guys pretty much are waiting for the starter's pistol to go off so that you can go off. Is this going to be a weird 2021? I mean, do you have a feeling like there's just so much pent up demand, not only by the public, but by the arts community to just flood the community with everything?
Well, you know, everybody, I mean, the real trick is always seeing over the horizon. And so when this started to happen and we realized we weren't going to be at the theater, we started to think, well, what kind of lemonade can we make with these lemons? So
right.
We started, you know, doing videos. And I think we've reached out and probably reached a lot of people in the country that we wouldn't have reached just with our local program. So I think that, you know, that's paid some dividends. But, you know, will people come flooding back into the theaters? I really hope that they will. And a big part of it's just going to be, you know, like, are people comfortable with the vaccine? Are they, you know, they talk about herd immunity a lot. And I have had a hard time getting too upset about this. You know that there's an influenza epidemic just about every year. And unfortunately, it does hit some people in a really bad way. And I think this has just been, you know, a little bit worse than it normally would be. I mean, if you know your history and you go back and you, there's a book out I've been that a bunch of people I know have been reading about the 1918, they call it the Spanish influenza epidemic. It actually got started at an army base in Kansas during World War I. And, it was really a lot more lethal than this one is. So I'm hoping and just praying that, you know, that things are going to turn around here pretty quick.
Well, we look forward to you hitting the stage again. Michael Romke, thank you so much from Bucktown Review. It's good of you to join us. And you can check out the Bucktown Review website for any updates on their plans in the coming days and weeks about these performances. So check it out when you can. On the air, on the radio, on the web, and on your mobile device, as well as streaming on your computer. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
Wieland Presley Funeral Home and Crematory, a proud supporter of WQPT, has been serving Quad City families since 1889. Now providing live stream capabilities for viewing your loved one's funeral or memorial service at their chapel in Rock Island.